Please take your Bibles and turn to Psalm number 33 tonight. Psalm number 33. How many have ever been to the top of the Sears Tower? Has anyone ever? Oh, quite a few people. All right. Well, imagine you're at the top of the Sears Tower tonight. All right, you're at the top of the Sears Tower. I've never been there. I mean, is it pretty amazing standing up there and looking down? How many would say it's pretty amazing standing up there and looking down? All right. Well, imagine you're up there and they have, you know, this would be maybe in the future now because, and pretend they've built another tower right next to it. You know, maybe they wouldn't call it the Sears Tower. Maybe they'd call it the, I don't know, JCPenney Tower or something. But anyways, they build a tower right next to it. And the peaks, I know this wouldn't really work out in architecture, but anyways, the peaks are about 15 feet apart. And somebody gets, and they get 3 2x6s. They get 3 18-foot 2x6s, and they span the two peaks. And you have been elected to walk across. Now, maybe you need more than 3 2x6s, but whatever, enough so that they don't break. All right, so you've been elected to walk across. And, you know, just before you begin to walk across, you're a little hungry. And so you maybe grab a Big Mac or a double butter burger or something to you know, carry with you as you're going across so you don't get too hungry on your little trip across. And maybe, you know, boy, you're real hungry, so maybe grab a large French fry to go along with it in your other hand. And then, you know, you might want to make sure you have your cell phone in case you get a text message when you're halfway over, because you might want to check it. And, you know, maybe you could practice a few moves or something. You know, Ben, maybe you could practice a few moves while you're out there. You know, and don't forget to wave to your friends below. Now, this sounds maybe somewhat comical, but, you know, if you were at the top of the Sears Tower and you had to walk across the plank, even if it was just 15 feet, I mean, if I was standing at the top of the Sears Tower on the edge, that would be somewhat of a frightful experience. And then if you have to really imagine that you have to walk across those planks, well, what are you going to do? Are you going to be concerned about eating a Big Mac at that point? I don't think so. And especially the people below are probably going to wish you hadn't eaten it either. But anyways, that's the you're not going to, all those things in life are really not going to matter anymore. You know, the Big Mac, the text message, the large French fry, you know, practicing your moves up there, or, you know, your friends below. You're going to have full concentration on getting across those planks so you can reach the other side. I mean, that's going to be a fearful thing standing there walking across those planks. Now, maybe some of you aren't afraid of heights, but I would think that most people that high up, there is going to be a great amount of fear. You know, yet we live in a world, most people in the world would be afraid, would have great fear, and they'd set aside everything so they could fully concentrate on the task at hand. But yet we live in a world that does not have much fear of God. And you know, tonight we need to realize that the most important truth that we can grab a hold of in our lives is to have that righteous fear of God in our lives. It says here in Psalm number 33 and verse 8, it says, "Let all the earth fear the Lord. Let all the inhabitants of the world stand in awe of Him." I'd like to look at four reasons tonight why we ought to fear God. First of all, we will see that why should we fear God? Well, He is the Creator. Notice what it says in verse number 9. It says, "For He spake and it was done. He commanded, and it stood fast. We find that this was immediate power that was demonstrated in creation. It says he spoke before he spake, and it was done. Immediately it was what? It was accomplished. You know, it's so sad that, you know, as evolution began to become popular, people had to such and such, you know, reconcile the Bible with evolution. How sad, because it just shows people's lack of an understanding of the greatness of our God. You know, there are so many things that people can be in awe of. But think of the creative power of our God, that immediate power that as soon as he spoke, it happened. You know, sometimes you might try to get something to happen, and you're not even creating it. You're just trying to maybe build something or do something, and it takes a long time. Or maybe you have to start over, or maybe you have to keep trying at it. You know, but God spoke, and it happened. Imagine that. Imagine seeing something come out of nothing. You know, if somebody could stand up and do some tricks tonight, you know, and people are like, whoa, that's amazing. You know, and obviously they're just, you know, doing something and you just can't see everything that's happening. But imagine the creation of this world. And the Bible says, let all the earth fear the Lord. It says, let all the inhabitants of the world stand in awe of him, for he spake and it was done. It says, he commanded. We find it was authoritative power. He commanded. And it happened. You know, this was something that was a part of him. This was inherent power in himself. He says, by the word, verse 6, by the word of the Lord were the heavens made, and all the host of them by the breath of his mouth. You know, this power came from no one else. This was power that was in himself. Why should we fear God? Because he is the creator. Really, I don't think many times we have a comprehension of the great power that God demonstrated in creation. You know, and if the devil can get people to believe evolution, he has gotten them to swallow a great lie that is going to cause people's view of God to be ruined. And it is so important for us to understand that God is the creator. Tonight, do you stand in awe of God? Do you stand in fear of God, recognizing that he is the creator? Secondly, why should we fear him? We should fear him because he has commanded it. Verse number 8 says, let all the earth fear the Lord. It says, let all the inhabitants of the world stand in awe of him. You know, this is not something for a select group of people to fear God. But this is something that God expects every individual to do. And somebody might say, well, that seems somewhat selfish of God to expect every individual to fear him. Well, the fact is that it is God is concerned for your greatest good. And the greatest good for you is to fear him. And it really shows God's great concern for your life that he would command you to fear him. We are to fear the Lord. We are to stand in awe of him. This is a command of God. I wonder today, did this command take a hold of our lives? Young person, as you went throughout your day today, did you at all think about the greatness of God? Did you think about his power as demonstrated in creation? Did you think about the fact that he created you and he has a plan and a purpose for your life? We are commanded to fear him. This is not an option for our lives, but this is the best thing that God has for us is to fear Him. How much fear of God do you have in your life? Do you recognize that if you are not fearing God, you are sinning before God? We find that He has commanded it. Thirdly, we find that He has ordained it, that we should fear Him. Notice what it says in verse number 10. It says, "The Lord bringeth the counsel of the heathen to naught. He maketh the devices of the people of none effect. The counsel of the Lord standeth forever. The thoughts of His heart to all generations. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, and the people whom He hath chosen for His own inheritance. The Lord looketh from heaven, He beholdeth all the sons of men." But notice that verse there, verse 11. "The counsel of the Lord standeth forever, the thoughts of His heart to all generations. He brings the counsels of the heathen to nothing," it says in verse 10. The devices of the people, the things that they plan, maybe that they purpose, to none effect. God has ordained it. He has ordered it. He has set the world in such a way that we are to fear Him. You know, and if things are going to work properly in our lives, they must work in an atmosphere, in a way in which we are fearing God. Otherwise, things are going to be set off course. God ordained the world to function correctly in the realm of fearing Him. His counsels, His purposes, His devices are going to continue. But that which man does is going to go downhill. If we go over to Psalm number 2, Psalm number 2, verse 1. "Why do the heathen rage and the people imagine a vain thing? The kings of the earth set themselves and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against His anointed, saying, Let us break their bands asunder and cast away their cords from us." Here is a group of people that have no fear of God. They're going to operate life in their own way. They're going to do their own thing, and they're going to step outside of that, or seek to anyway, step outside that which God has ordained to happen. Notice what it says, verse 4, "He that sitteth in the heavens shall laugh. The Lord shall have them in derision." You know, you can seek to run your life the way you want. You can seek to live your life outside of the fear of God. You can seek to develop plans and purposes for your life that are contrary to what God has for you, but it's not going to work. Note the conclusion here. Notice verse 10. "Be wise now, therefore, ye kings. Be instructed, ye judges of the earth. Serve the Lord with fear and rejoice with trembling. Kiss the Son, lest He be angry, and ye perish from the way when His wrath is kindled but a little. Blessed are all they that put their trust in Him." God has ordained that we would live with a fear of Him. But notice, this fear is not something that causes us to run from God, but it causes us to hold on to God. It causes us to come to Him. It says, "Serve the Lord with fear. Rejoice with trembling." The end of verse 12, "Blessed are all they," truly happy are all they that what? "That put their trust in Him." See, when we fear God, what are we doing? We are operating life under God's set of principles. We are operating life under how God has ordained life to function, because we recognize how great His power is. We recognize how great He is. We understand that anything of our own is going to fail. There's a fear. There's a great understanding of how great God is, and that everything that He does is perfect. And if we would step outside of that realm of His perfectness, there would be great and dire consequences. As we go back to Psalm number 33, you know, men can think of how great they are. We can be lifted up in our pride. We can think that we can accomplish something, and it's so easy for us to do. But verse number 16, it says, "There is no king saved by the multitude of an host. A mighty man is not delivered by much strength." You know, what does that have to say for the United States of America? It says there is no king, not one, saved by the multitude of an host. You know, it doesn't matter how big your army is. It doesn't matter how many planes you have or jets you have. It doesn't matter how many ships you have. God doesn't operate in the realm of human strength. You look at the Old Testament. You look at the kings when they did what was right. Look at how God would save them. You know, He said, "Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord." You know, God doesn't operate many times in the same set of principles that we think in the physical realm. God operates in the spiritual realm. God has ordained that we would live with a fear of Him. Not one king is saved by his own strength. You know, the hope for the United States of America is verse 12, "Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord." That is where our hope is. It's not in our strength. You know, people want to spend so much money on, and I'm not saying you shouldn't spend money on a military, or you shouldn't spend money on these things, but where is our hope? Our hope is in God. Where's the hope for your family? Your hope for your family is in God. And what I was going to say, you know, we want to spend all this money on policemen and all these different things, you know, but yet look at the crime rates, and we probably have more policemen today. You know, I don't know what the rate is per capita, but there, it seems like we want to keep dumping money into these things. But what do we need? We need God. We need the inward rule of God in a person's life. We need people that are going to get saved and have God ruling in their lives, that have a fear of God. It says in verse number 9 of chapter 32, "Be ye not as the horse or as the mule, which have no understanding, whose mouth must be held in with bit and bridle, lest they come near unto thee." You know, young person, when you have to be directed in your life, you have to be forced to go a certain way. You know, and unless you are just reined in, you're going to go another direction. Well, what does the Bible say you're operating like? In a sense, you're operating in the animal world, where they have to learn things by this bit and this bridle, have to hold them in. But God wants us to have an understanding. God wants to understand who He is. God wants us to understand the Word of God. You know, in verse 8 of that same chapter, He says, "I will instruct thee and teach thee in the way which thou shalt go. I will guide thee with mine eye." We must understand that God has ordained that we should live in the realm of the fear of Him. But fourthly, another reason, the last reason I'd like to look at, is that God has blessed it. He has blessed it, this realm of living in the fear of God. Verse number 12, "Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. Verse number 18 says, behold, the eye of the Lord is upon them that fear him, upon them that hope in his mercy, to deliver their soul from death, and to keep them alive in famine. God's watchful eye is over those that will choose to fear him. You know, tonight, fearing God is not just a good idea. Fearing God is not just something that we might want to have in our lives. The fear of God is something that we must have in our lives. You know, fathers, the fear of God is something that you must have in your family. You know, it is something that will make a mark upon their life. It is something that will guide them in their life. It is something that will influence the choices that they make. God's plan is from generation to generation. Earlier in the chapter, it says the thoughts of his heart to all generations. You know, man's devices, man's purposes, many times will only be one generation or a few generations long. You can have great plans and purposes for your life. And maybe somebody could get a great company going and they could pour their life into it. You know, but then they could die and they have no control over those plans and purposes that they have put into that company. Maybe they could have had all sorts of things set up, but you know what? Once they die, they really have no control over it, do they? But God's plans and his purposes are for all generations. Living in the realm of the fear of God is a blessed realm, is a blessed realm. God's watchful eye is upon us. Verse number 21. It says, for our heart shall rejoice in him because we have trusted in his holy name. You know, it is the place of rejoicing, living in the realm of the fear of God. You know, tonight you may be wanting to go off in your own direction, thinking it's going to bring satisfaction, but it's not. The realm of rejoicing is in the realm of in which we fear God and we choose to put our trust and our confidence in him. You know, if you were that person standing on top of that tower and you had to walk across to the other side, you would willingly set all those things aside so that you could successfully walk across that board. That fear, so to speak, of falling would greatly influence the choices that you would make. You would put full concentration into it. You know, there might be a noisy truck driving below, but you wouldn't turn to go check it out. You would keep focused on the task at hand. You know, tonight we live in a world of distractions, but there is a God that we have been commanded to fear. And if we understood his greatness, if we understood his creative power, if we understood the great command that he has placed in front of us, if we understood how he has ordained life to function in this realm of the fear of him and the great blessing that is waiting for those that will fear him, it would greatly influence the way that we live our life. And it would give us a newfound focus. And it would give us a newfound purpose in the things of God. I wonder tonight, is there that fear of God in your life that influences your actions, that influences the choices that you make? You know, we cannot live life without it. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for the great God that you are. Lord, even as the psalmist said that when he considered the heavens, the work of your hands, the moon, the stars, what is man that thou art mindful of him? Lord, what an amazing thing that you had a special purpose for each one of us. That you have a special purpose for each one of us. And Lord, I pray tonight that we would consider who you are and what you have done. And Lord, that our minds would be refocused. And Lord, those things that seem so important to us, that are hindering us from accomplishing the plan and the purpose that you have for us. Lord, that those things would become so minuscule and would become nothing in light of your greatness and your goodness. Lord, I pray that we would recognize that this is not an option for us, but that it is commanded. And Lord, that it would influence the choices that we make for our family. And Lord, that we would see that really it's because, Lord, you want to bless us. Lord, you want what is best for us. And Lord, that as we live in this world and that Satan is throwing all these temptations at us, that we would renew our focus, Lord, on who you are. And even as it says in Hebrews, that we would look unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. With heads bowed and eyes closed tonight, you know, maybe there's something tonight that even in the quietness of this time, that the Lord is working your life about and you need to surrender that to him tonight. You know, maybe you need to walk in the fear of God. Maybe there's influences in your life that are hindering that from taking place. Maybe it's the fact that you're not in God's word and so you're not really able to grab a hold of who God is. That walk with God isn't taking place. Maybe it's just that you need to really meditate on God as the creator of this universe. We get so busy with life that we're not taking time to really understand the great God that we are to serve. Maybe right now, just during this time, you need to stop. And there's a decision that God wants you to make. Maybe just each morning as you wake up, you need to remind yourself that you are to stand in awe of God. Lord, we pray that you would help us to fear your name. Lord, may you bless us as we go to prayer tonight. Lord, may your will be accomplished. May you guide us. May the Spirit of God enable us to pray, Lord, as we ought.